The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices in the temple. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went up to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it with manure. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the good news of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. I want to tell you about Judson Memorial Church in the Greenwich Village area of New York. From its founding in 1888, it has had a focus of reaching out to the immigrants in that area. Now, at that time, the immigrant population most in need were the Italians, who were moving into that area and looking for shelter and a better life. In fact, Judson became their main source of clean drinking water because the immigrants were discouraged from using the public fountains. So they came to the church for water, and it gave brand new meaning to Jesus' words of being the fountain of life-giving water. Thus, it's no surprise that in this day and age, Judson continues to be a voice for the immigrants, as well as many others who are sometimes left out of a church community. Also, no surprise that Irvin and I felt very much at home there at Judson when we were in New York for November and December. Now, people ask me to describe Judson's services, and the best I can say is that they were messy. And I mean messy in the best sense of the word. You never knew what was coming. You never really knew where the readings of the day came from, whether it was scripture or some modern prophet or Star Wars or Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You never knew who was going to get up and speak at any given moment or what they were going to say. But like Trinity, the music at Judson was always phenomenal, and the preaching was usually relevant, and the community was always welcoming. I walked out of there each Sunday with a purpose and maybe even a goal to bring the gospel of Jesus to life that week. And thus I come to the title of this week's sermon, "Be the Glitter You Wish to See in the World." This is the motto of Judson these days, and when I began allowing that motto to sink into my soul, I knew that it was today's message for you. Be the glitter you want to see in the world. But I'm going to put that aside for just a second and return to it. Let's take a look at today's lessons first. Isaiah, in the first reading, calls us to an amazing transformation. The prophet is telling us not to worry, not to be concerned. The prophet says that you will get what you need, and all you need to do is trust and accept. Isaiah says that even the wicked and the sinful will be abundantly forgiven and have mercy abundantly put upon them. Isaiah says, "Come, and you will have what you need. Don't waste your money, because you don't need money." Now, it sounds like an amazing utopian society where everybody has everything they need, and yet that is what God is offering through this prophet. As we sing here at Trinity, all are welcome, And that's what Isaiah is saying. All are welcome. But then this reading from Jesus. Wow. I read it and I said, where is he going with this one? Jesus talks about these horrible events that are happening in the world around him. And all he seems to be able to say is, repent. The implication I got was, turn your life around, or these things are going to happen to you. Bear good fruit, or you're going to be cut down. It did not sound like good news to me. I quickly shut my Bible. Okay, turned off my Bible app. And I said, no way. This doesn't go with the message I want to preach. Where's the glitter in that? So I had to do a bit more digging. I read a commentary by Matt Skinner, a professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary, and he shed a bit more light on this gospel. Jesus is talking about horrible things happening in his world. Political persecution, natural disasters, buildings collapsing, people dying during worship ceremonies. These things are taking the lives of unsuspecting individuals. These people were simply going about their lives, and yet their lives are suddenly snuffed out. Did God decide that today was their day to die? Maybe, but Jesus doesn't choose to comment on that. But what Jesus does say is that we should be ready, because we never know what will happen to us. Repent, in this case, doesn't mean we have sins that are going to cause us to be punished and die. Matt Skinner says, rather than seeing repentance as a turning away from evil, it is a chance to turn toward God. Bad events in our world should not mark the beginning of our turning toward God, the beginning of our conversion, as in there are no atheists in the foxholes. Rather, these events should remind us of the fragility of life and taking our responsibility to live each day to its fullest, accepting the gifts that Isaiah reminds us we have already been given, and helping others to do the same. Which brings me back to glitter. What does Lent and repentance have to do with this shiny stuff that brings joy to some and irritation to others? By the way, I promised Robin I would clean up. I have heard that some churches over the last 2 years have used glitter in their ashes on Ash Wednesday. To those of you who have not been here or do not know, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. We begin Lent by putting ashes on our forehead to remind us that we are dust. We are made from the earth, and we will return to that state after we die. Our life is but borrowed time, and then we are gone. That is why in Lent we focus on our finality and how we can best live this life for the betterment of ourselves and our world. Some churches, however, are adding glitter to the ashes on foreheads to remind us of a bigger reality. Some have used glitter on Ash Wednesday to recommit themselves to be a welcoming place for lesbian and gay folk, as an outward sign that no matter who you are, your light, your color, your gifts are welcomed in our church. Now, I think of glitter in even a bigger sense, though. As the ashes remind us of the finality of this life, I see glitter as a reminder of the resurrection that awaits all of us. The glitter that is mixed in with the ashes reminds us, as Jesus did, that even though there is death and destruction and hatred in this world, we do not have to be weighed down by it. We can turn to God in hope and recommit ourselves and our lives to living the best life we can. Christ followers should not be simply people of the crucifixion. Christ followers are called to be people of the resurrection. So being the glitter you want to see in the world means that you go out and you spread the message of the good news, even in the face of death and sadness and hatred. You bring the hope of the resurrection. You remind people that sometimes it takes time and being fertilized with manure to bring forth fruit. That sometimes your brightness can overcome the darkness. And in fact, your light is the only thing that can overcome darkness. And what about glitter that makes some people a little nervous? There are times when glitter really makes me irritated. We had a friend in Austin who used to send us greeting cards. And he would send us greeting cards on birthdays and anniversaries, but he'd also send them on random times like Halloween and Easter. And I was so excited the first couple of times I got cards, and I would open them up and glitter would fall all over the floor, which means it's time to vacuum again. I finally got wise and started opening his cards over the trash. You see, glitter is not always welcomed, and that is a good thing. Glitter can be an annoyance, a bother, a reminder to vacuum the floor better. But isn't that what we are called to do in this world? We are called to be an annoyance to the powers that be, that the message of Jesus is not just for a chosen few. The message of God's love is for everyone. And that is how Trinity Lutheran Church in Whidbey Island is just like Judson Memorial Church in New York City and Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco and Langley United Methodist Church down the road and the Unitarian Congregation up the road and countless of other churches and places of worship all around our community and our world that say, no, this message of God's love isn't just for a chosen few who believe like us, who vote like us, who look like us. TLC stands with Jesus when we go out and we spread the good news to everyone, regardless of religion or gender, ethnicity or political affiliation, social status or sexual orientation. We are all part of the same family of God, and this message of love belongs to all of us. Both the author of Proverbs and the Apostle Paul spoke about how doing good to our enemies would heap burning coals on their heads. Now, there are different interpretations on what that means, but my mom taught me that as much as possible, repay hatred with kindness. She says, first, it takes them by surprise, but then it also gets you off the hook. When you repay hatred with kindness, people begin to wonder what's wrong with you. Now, I will say that neither my mom nor I ever mastered that technique, but I do find that when I can decompress a difficult situation and truly spread some unconditional love, I feel better, and the world gets a little bit brighter. I've spread some glitter. The Prophet Muhammad once said, "What actions are most excellent? To gladden the heart of a human being, to feed the hungry, to help the afflicted, to lighten the sorrow of the sorrowful, to remove the wrongs of the injured. That person is most beloved of God, who does the most good to God's creatures." That person is most beloved of God, who does the most good to God's creatures. Those things make us sparkle like glitter in the sunlight. And in Galatians, we read, "The fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now talk about glitter in a sad, scary, and hateful world. Imagine this week that we each took part of that fruit and spread it around to those who were not remembering that we are all in this together. Let me repeat those things, those glitter things, those signs of the resurrection that we as Christ followers are supposed to be doing and spreading. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So go out and be the glitter we need in this world this week.